Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Awesome. Back up from Youngstown, are you?
I am.
Whoa.
Here I am. Here I am, Lord.
You put a lot of miles in your van.
A few.
Yeah. So anyway, here we are, and we've been doing a series which will probably...
It's going to last a long time.
Yeah, I don't know.
We thought we were going to run out of notes last week, but we didn't.
Well, no, I just went through like a couple of lines. But anyway, we've been talking about preaching the word to rebellious people. I guess that's a good way to summarize it.
It's hard to find that anymore.
Yeah, and we went through Isaiah 5 and Romans chapter 1, and then we went through Amos chapter 7 and how people reacted when the word was preached to them. Then we went into Ezekiel chapter 2, where, you know, God says, or Ezekiel says, you know, the Spirit came into me, got me on my feet, and God told me to go preach to these rebellious people. And, you know, you're going to preach my word. You're going to say, thus saith the Lord. You're going to tell them the word that I'm giving you. And they might believe it. They might not believe it, but they're pretty rebellious. And he uses the word rebellious a ton of times,
number of times.
In chapter two. And rebellion really kind of sums up where we are. Starting in the garden, Adam and Eve rebelled against what he told them.
Yep.
And, you know, we look back on that and we think, gee, that's really no big deal. They ate something they weren't supposed to eat. A big deal.
Yeah, it was a piece of fruit compared to
stuff I've done or stuff that guy over there's done. I mean, that seems pretty tame. But it's all rebellion because you are transgressing his law, disobeying what he wants you to do. So you are, in fact, rebelling. So if I decided, I know I'm supposed to stop at red lights, but I'm sure that law doesn't apply to me because I'm a really important person. So if I'm in a hurry, I'm not stopping for red lights. So if I go through a red light over here on Rockside Road and the Independence police pull me over and I say, listen, officer, I know you're doing, but listen, that doesn't apply to me. Because he's going to write me a really nice ticket.
Did you pass me on the way up?
Yes. And he's going to write me a really nice ticket.
Yes, he
will. Say, you know what? You're a rebellious person because the law about stopping at red lights applies to anybody who's driving here. And, you know, it's rebellion to go against the law.
Then if he tells you to step out of the car, you're in real trouble.
Oh, they're in real trouble. Yeah, then he gets you an extra citation for being a smart aleck or whatever it is.
All right, buddy, out of the car. Let's go.
But, you know, sin is rebellion because we decide we don't like that law and we want to do this instead of what the law says.
It's all about pride.
And that is rebellion, and it's all about pride. And, you know, in the book of Proverbs, I think it's chapter 5, or maybe it's 7. I think it's 5. You know, there's a list of the things God hates, and at the top of the list is the prideful look. Pride is the number one thing that leads to rebellion. But he sends Ezekiel, the Spirit gets Ezekiel up on his feet and says, you're going to go talk to these rebellious people. And they're going to see that a prophet was among them. And whether they believe you or not, they're going to know that somebody with authority showed up. And they're going to know that the authority comes from me. And if they don't believe you, if they don't listen to you, they're rejecting me. So don't worry about it. And actually, maybe, Steve, you should read that.
From where?
Ezekiel chapter 2.
Let's see if I got one of my Ezekiel 2.
I think 1 through 8. We'll
1 through 8 again?
With. Yeah.
Okay.
No, 1 through 7.
1 through 7. The voice said to me, Son of man, stand up. I wish to speak to you. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites. a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. Their children are bold of face and stubborn of heart. To them I am sending you. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, and whatever they hear or resist, and whether they hear or resist, they are a rebellious house. They shall know that a prophet has been among them. But as for you, son of man, do not fear them or their words. Do not fear even though there are briars or thorns and you sit among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or be terrified by their looks, for they are a rebellious house. You must speak my word to them, whether they hear or resist, because they are rebellious.
Hmm. And that's the point. We're commissioned to speak his word to people.
Yeah.
Like Ezekiel was. And God tells them, you know what? There are really rebellious people. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to not like what you're saying. They might hate what you're saying. Mm-hmm. They may turn on you and hate you. They may think you're like the craziest guy they've ever met. But you go there and you tell my word. You go in there and you preach my word, because that's what you're commissioned to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're commissioned to do. And we all know about the Great Commission, and we've talked about that a lot. But it's more than that. It's when you deal with rebellious people, you are, like you like to say, Steve, you're the ambassador who goes.
That's right.
And as we've talked about so many times on our show, an ambassador goes with instructions from his government. He doesn't make up his own thing that he wants to tell the foreign country.
Right.
He goes and says, well, this is what my government says, and this is what the president wants you to do, and this is what our Congress did, and so this is what I'm telling you.
Right.
I don't go there as the ambassador and say, well, here's what I think.
Cut some side deal.
Yeah, here's what I think. And we're not going there with what we think. We're going there with the word that says, thus says the Lord. Ezekiel's empowered by the Spirit, and he's instructed to go there and talk to these rebellious people.
Yeah. And it's not about, you know, Ezekiel becoming this, like having a fan club. Or, you know.
He didn't have a big fan club.
Or getting a lot of followers on Facebook. You know, it's like, oh man, Ezekiel, let's follow him. Yeah, no, let's delete him. Come on, get him out of here.
I'm unfriending him.
Unfriending Ezekiel. There you go.
He's a big poop.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Gosh. He would get banned. But, it really speaks to our, and it really speaks to the time that we live in, because, you know, I tend to think sometimes if John the Baptist showed up at somebody's church and said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you know, and said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?
Yeah.
How many people would go, oh, wow, you know, I really need to do that?
They'd show them the door.
They'd show them the door. Hey, get out of here, you intolerant, you know. But it should be a wake-up call. It should be a wake-up call to all of us that the things that are going on in our world are not of the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
We think, you know, we think we're being tolerant and we're being loving and being kind. We're lying to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our friend Rabbi Eric, his brother ministers to the Arab brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh.
And I remember him saying one time, you know, he ministers over in the Middle East, and you know, the worst type of person in the desert is the one who knows where the water is but doesn't tell you.
Yeah.
And we have the living water in Jesus Christ. Do we dare tell somebody the truth about what Christ has done for them and what their condition is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, what we did last week and what we're doing this week about Ezekiel and the prophet and giving the word is so very important, because speaking honestly anymore in our culture is looked at as being, you're being mean.
Mm.
You're being unfriendly. But when you speak a word of truth, and I think we were talking about this before, you know, if you teach people to love each other, that's a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't teach people to speak truth to each other, you've done a great disservice to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't love each other if when somebody says something that is truthful, you go, hey, man, you hurt my feelings. I don't like you anymore. Get out of here. I'm going to unfriend you. What have you done? You can't, there's no correction. There's no turning away from sin and turning back to God. And the corporal and spiritual works of mercy are thrown out the door at that point because you're to instruct the ignorant. Well, how are you going to do that if people don't want to listen? But in this, it's not about if they're going to listen or not. It's about being faithful to what God has given you to speak and not to add your own content to it, not to add your own, oh, gosh, you know, that's a little harsh. I think I'm going to say this instead of that because they'll probably say it better or receive it better. We can't, well, you could do that, but that'll be on you.
And they're going to like me better if I say it like this.
And then it becomes about, because if we do that, it becomes about me and not about the truth that God is speaking to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this, we didn't read the passage. Did you read the passage?
Of Ezekiel?
Yeah. Did we? Okay. That's right.
Yeah. I know, we've read it so many times, it's like, where are we at here?
And then during our 8 hours of rehearsal, you know, we did it a few times too.
Yeah.
No, we had about 8.5 seconds of rehearsal. But, you know, interestingly, God tells Ezekiel that he's going to be surrounded by briars and thorns and scorpions.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much says it. Like you say, I like your idea of John the Baptist goes into a church and it's like, if he calls people brood of vipers and what are you doing and where's your fruit and the axe is coming to the root of the tree, it would be like, we don't want this kind of talk here. So, we'll see,
especially if he had his new camel hair jacket on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't like the way you look. We don't like what you're wearing and we're certainly not going to have lunch with you, but that's another story. Yeah. I mean, it's Sunday morning. We went. You know, scrambled eggs and pancakes. We don't want locusts and honey. So you get out of here. And this is pretty much how he was treated by the religious leaders of his day. Like, who do you think you are? But God says to Ezekiel, you're going to preach my word to them, mm-hmm. despite what their reaction is, despite what you think, and despite what happens to you while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to be surrounded by scorpions. Now,
yeah.
You know, we don't have scorpions in Ohio, and I'm kind of glad.
Yeah.
But if you live in a desert place and a scorpion, you know, comes into where you are and they sting you, it's really, really painful.
Yeah.
And when someone resists the word that you're giving them and they become like a scorpion, mm-hmm. they could really hurt you.
Yeah, they can.
And it's a difficult thing. As a person, to not only be rejected by people, but to have them insult you and make fun of you and laugh at you and whatever else,
mm-hmm.
you know, stinging you like a scorpion, then you say to yourself, oh, man, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I don't like this. I don't like these people doing mm-hmm. this to me. I was happier before I came here.
Yeah.
And like we talked about Amos, and like we talked about Ezekiel, and we can talk about Jeremiah, and you can talk about almost any of the prophets. They were just going about their business when they suddenly got called.
Yeah.
And just like the people in the desert used to say, hey, listen, let's go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's this Moses guy bringing us out here?
Yeah, what'd you bring us out here for?
There were probably times where these prophets said to themselves, why am I even here? Why was I, you know, I was having a nice life before this.
Yeah.
And now look at, everybody's making fun of me. Everybody's yelling at me. Everybody's telling me to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's telling me get out of the way, go out the door. I don't like rejection.
Yeah.
Because none of us like rejection.
Mm-hmm.
But God tells Ezekiel, you're not going to be afraid of them. You're not going to mm-hmm. dwell on the opposition. You're going to preach my word to them.
Yeah.
Because they were rebellious people. And we always have to speak the word that we hear. The Spirit who got Ezekiel ready speaks to us. And even though we encounter people that are rebellious and insulting and sarcastic, we still have to preach the word because everyone has to hear the word.
Exactly.
I love the Paul Wilbur song, is it an even so? No.
Even?
No, it's, oh, oh, Hello. The line of, you know, the ears of all men have to hear of the Lamb who was crucified.
You're the Lion of Judah.
The Lion of Judah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can you do that song, I Want a Messiah?
I could.
Because there we are, you know, it's like everyone has to hear the word. And you're the one who's going to say it. Like in Romans 10, when Paul says, you know, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from preaching the word. And if someone's not sent, how are they going to hear? So everyone has to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, and we have to be ready to say that word or whatever other word comes. But in Ezekiel's time, it was a matter of people are rebellious and you have to get them back to the law. In our time, it's a matter of people are rebellious and we have to bring them to the cross. We have to bring them to Christ. We have to bring them to salvation, because the worst thing you can do is to affirm somebody's sin and say, oh, don't worry, it's okay.
Yeah, and unfortunately that happens a lot.
Oh, a lot.
It happens a lot in our culture.
A lot. And you, like you were saying before, of not telling people where the water is in the desert, you know, everyone, and you know, back to, you can look on the website about the teachings on the bronze serpent, and, you know, everybody's dying out there of a disease.
Yeah.
Everybody's dying from a curse. We have the cure.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a cure for a disease in your house and everybody outside is dying,
right,
you say, well, I don't think I better say anything because I got the cure. I'll just take it myself. That's not the Great Commission. That's not how we're commissioned to behave and preach and evangelize, because we have the cure for the disease.
Exactly.
And we are commissioned to tell people about it. Rebellious people about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, this is a lot. There is, you know, Jesus does. He offers us. It's like when Moses was in the desert and the people, you know, the Israelites rebelled and they grumbled because they were tired of the manna.
Yeah.
And God sent the fiery serpents and they stung them and they died. And they had to look upon, you know, the remedy was you're to make a serpent, place it on a pole, and everybody was to look at it and they would be healed.
Yep.
You know, and that foreshadowed a type of Christ.
Yep.
That he was, when the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all men to myself, as Jesus says.
Mm-hmm.
He's the healer. He's the, you know, by his blood we are healed. By his wounds we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, even though that is the good news, there are many who rebel against him because they just want to do it their own way. They want a different way. Any other way but Jesus.
Yeah.
We don't want that. We don't want that, but yet it's the cure.
Right.
Isn't that insanity? Because it's like, here's the cure.
Yeah.
Here it is. Here's the cure. No, I don't want that. I want something else.
Yeah.
No, this is the only cure.
Yeah. So if you're dying from an overwhelming infection and the doctor says, here's the antibiotic you need, you say, I don't want that. I want, just give me some vitamin C. I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this one too. Oh, this is the one we were talking about.
Yeah.
Awesome. Remember, check out givethegraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Yeah. before you, and the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell, yet was raised up to reign at his Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who was slain for the world, put him down. And the youth will reply, You shall reign as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Paul always knows the right song.
That was a long break and a long song, but I think it's worth everybody listening to it rather than me babbling.
Yeah.
That song has like
we want to hear you
unbelievable power to it.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get back to Ezekiel, because now, after all this stuff about rebellion and don't worry about what they're going to tell you, God does kind of an interesting thing. Steve, let's see. At the end of chapter 2, verse 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And then going into...
You're not going to make me change chapters, are you?
Chapter 3.
Oh, no, not midstream. Oh.
Last
time we tried this.
1 through 3. Let's start with that.
All right. It was then I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a written scroll. He unrolled it before me. It was covered with writing front and back. Written on it was, lamentation, wailing, woe. He said to me, Son of man, eat what you find here. Eat this scroll, then go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Son of man, he said to me, feed your stomach and fill your belly with this scroll I am giving you. I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them.
So now, after this preparation, on his feet, gets the commission to go, this scroll comes, and it has writing on the front and the back of it, and it says there's lamentation on it. In other words, it's a scroll with judgment, with lamentation, and he tells Ezekiel to eat the scroll. Now, it sounds a little weird. Like, I love doing Bible study, and I do it every night, but I generally don't eat the pages.
You don't?
No, I don't. Oh. And certainly when I use my computerized versions.
I always thought that was odd that that didn't happen.
I don't try to eat the computer screen.
That would be weird.
Yeah. And if somebody found me eating my Bible, they'd probably think I needed some serious help.
Yeah, probably.
But Ezekiel gets a scroll with, it doesn't say what's on it. It just says it's lamentation. It's judgment. Because this is what's coming on the rebellious people. Mm-hmm. And he's told to eat it. And he says it's sweet like honey in his mouth.
Yeah.
Even though there's bad stuff on him, on it, he eats it and it's like honey in his mouth. It's sweet. You know, we have to eat. We have to get the word into us. Here Ezekiel is literally eating the scroll and getting the word into him. We have to take the word into us. We have to reflect on it. We have to make it part of us. And when we eat it, it becomes food for us because it nourishes us. And when we go and preach the word, we have to know what the word is. And, you know, when we go out to tell people to study and to learn, we have to know what it is we're telling them to study and to learn.
Yeah.
We can't proclaim the word if we don't know the word. We have to know it. We have to understand it so we can teach it clearly and we can explain it.
Yeah.
So he has to eat this scroll before he goes on his mission.
Yeah.
And he has to speak his, capital H, words to them, not his, little h, words, not Ezekiel's word to them. He has to speak God's word to them, which are on the scroll. Mm-hmm. And so it nourishes us, and we study it, and we learn it. And even Jeremiah, who's another major prophet, in 15:16 says, you know, I found your words and I ate them. Now, I don't know if he literally ate them, but he was so engrossed with it that he wanted to make his words part of him.
Yeah. You know, it goes along with that the word of God needs to be in you. So that, you know, when Jesus tells the scribes and the Pharisees, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them, but what comes out of them, that, you know, what arises out of their heart, pride, lust, licentiousness, all these things, that breeds sin.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the condition of the heart that is the issue.
Right.
And that is what defiles.
Yeah.
But as you're saying this, as Ezekiel eats this scroll, he's digesting the word of God, if you will.
Yes.
And he's to go and speak this word.
It's becoming part of him.
Yeah, it becomes a part of him. And he's to speak this word. And it's interesting. He says it's sweet as honey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I mean, we fill ourselves with worldly things all the time.
Yeah.
And you want to go out to have a nice dinner. Then when you get home, you know, gee, I think I'd like to have a snack. You eat something else. You watch some mindless thing on TV.
Yeah.
Then you say, gee, I think I'll have some more of that ice cream. You go get another thing of ice cream. I mean, you fill yourself with all this worldly stuff. And there's nothing wrong with going out to dinner. There's nothing wrong with watching TV once in a while. There's nothing wrong with eating ice cream. But you don't mind filling yourself with that stuff, with the worldly things. But when it comes to the word, you say, well, you know, I don't really feel like doing that now. I don't really feel like reading this now.
Right. Yeah, you don't. But the word of God is, you know, the word of God is salvation. It's food for our soul.
Yes.
And I'm thinking of the song, Holy and Anointed One. Your word is like honey on my lips.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's to go to the house of Israel, even though God knows they're a rebellious people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's God's always intervening in the situation for them. He always has to intervene in the situation for them because they wander astray.
Yeah, exactly.
Over and over and over again.
Sheep have gone astray.
Just like we wander astray. We're no different. You know, we wander astray too. Mm-hmm. And God continuously calls us back. And, you know, when you respond to God's grace, when you respond to that invitation of his grace and mercy, like we were talking about in Isaiah 55, where God's word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes the will for which he sent it. God, you know, God is merciful. But if you continue to ignore God and ignore his word and ignore his promptings, then when his patience runs out, then the house falls apart. He will let your house fall desolate, just like he let the house of Israel fall desolate. And it will be in ruin. You know, I was thinking about, this was a number of years ago, probably about 10 years ago, when we had a new roof put on our house, and there was this one corner that had a crown molding on it, and it didn't quite fit together. And I had asked the roofers if they could fix that. And they just tacked up some singles on it, didn't do anything with it. I look at it like it's still the same, but it looks even worse. So I got up there and I started taking things apart. And when I pulled the crown molding away from, you know, when I pulled the crown molding away from the corner, all this debris fell out of it. All this dirt and dust and old bits of shingles and stuff. And I'm like, wow, all that stuff was there. And then when I put it back together, it fit perfectly. It fit perfectly. And I was, as you know, as Sandy and I were praying one day, the Lord showed me that all that debris is like what sin is in your life.
Wow.
And how you just can't fit
together.
You
can't just cover it up.
You can't just cover it up because it make things, you know, it's going to look awkward. There's going to be something that protrudes out. And it doesn't fit.
Roof's gonna leak.
And it doesn't fit squarely. It doesn't fit in union like it should. And in union with God like it should.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a very powerful teaching. And I was wondering, like, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they just fix this? But God wanted to use that to teach me something. I mean, it was really amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you can, you gotta pick up on those moments.
Yeah. So the next time your contractor isn't doing something that you're paying him for, maybe God wants to show you something. God wants to teach you something.
Yeah. But you know, if we have to fill our lives, like God says, you know, you gotta fill your stomach with this word. And it's, and he uses the analogy of you're actually gonna, well, it wasn't an analogy, you actually ate the scroll.
Yeah.
Now we're not gonna eat the scroll, but he says you're gonna fill your stomach with this. We got to fill ourselves. Like you said, it's going to become part of us. And if we're willing to do that, the Spirit's going to help us to do that. The Spirit's going to explain to us what this means. He's going to give us understanding about what this means. He's going to show us how this particular passage of Scripture applies to our life, or how this particular passage of Scripture is what you're supposed to be doing as your calling. And as you study it more, you learn more. You know, I always like to use the example, like the ancient rabbis taught that studying the scripture was like peeling an onion. Mm. You had one layer, mm-hmm. and then you peeled off another layer, then you peeled off another layer. Yeah. And sometimes you read the same verse or two of scripture kind of over and over again, and you say, oh, wow, I didn't think of that before. Oh, I didn't think of this before.
Yeah.
Oh, and then after you've read it like six times and you've spent an hour just kind of thinking about it, all these things come to your mind because the Spirit is showing you.
Right. And you've probably encountered somebody that said this as well as I have, where somebody goes, oh, yeah, I've read that passage already. I already
know that story.
Big mistake. Big mistake. Because just because you've read something once, and this really pertains to the Word of God,
yeah.
just because you've read a passage of Scripture once doesn't mean that God has shown you everything that is in there.
Yeah.
You know, because God's word is alive and it strikes to the heart. It pierces more surely than a two-edged sword, you know, a two-edged sword. So God can always teach us something in his word that will help us to grow in relationship with him. And I mean, all of this is about being in a right relationship with God so that we can bear fruit. You know, we can bear a bountiful harvest for the kingdom, because if the tree isn't bearing any fruit, if the plant isn't bearing any fruit, it's worthless.
Exactly.
You know, as you know, Jesus, you know, the fig tree, it was, yeah. he just cursed it and withered and it died.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to bear a harvest for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. And your friend John the Baptist says, otherwise the axe is on the root of the tree.
Yeah, it's going to be cut down.
Yep.
And so what good is it? So, with Ezekiel, he's there to give a word. He's to give it faithfully and to be faithful to it,
mm-hmm.
and not rely on his own power, his own ability, but to rely on God's grace.
Yeah, exactly.
The gift of grace. That should be a radio show.
Wow, you know what?
That is a great idea. That's for awesome. A show, man.
Wow. Yeah, well, get the grace. I like it.
You got to use that.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go to verse 4 of chapter 3. I mean, I'm really getting into Ezekiel now.
Yeah.
Let's go with it. Let's. Why don't you read 4 through 7.
4 through 7. Then he said to me, son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. Not to a people with obscure speech, a difficult language am I sending you, but to the house of Israel, nor to many nations of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. For if I were to send you to these, they would listen to you. Well, but the house of Israel will refuse to listen to you, since they refuse to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is stubborn of brow and heart, and hard of heart.
Oh. So now, here's the commission. You're going to go to the house of Israel. You're not going to go to unfamiliar people. You're not going to go to people with unfamiliar speech. So you're not going to go to people that are speaking German over there, mm-hmm. or they're speaking Swahili over at the other place.
Yeah.
You're going to the Israelites who are familiar to you. They have familiar speech. They're not unfamiliar. They have familiar customs.
Yeah.
And they're not going to listen to you because they're not listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take it personally. They're not listening to me. So they're definitely not going to listen to you because they're hard hearted
mm-hmm.
because they've decided that rebellion is what they do. But you're going to be strong enough to withstand this because I'm going to be there with you,
mm-hmm.
but don't worry about what they say. Just like he said in the last chapter, you know, don't feel bad about what they say, because they've rejected me. They're going to reject you. And you're going to go to people that you know. And this applies to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are called to go to New Guinea and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are called to go to Mongolia and preach the gospel. But in general, we go to people that we know to preach the gospel.
Right.
That are familiar people.
Mm-hmm.
Their language is familiar.
Right.
You're going to talk to some guy at work, in English about what the gospel is.
Yeah.
And you're going to know this guy has the same customs you do, lives in the same kind of house you do, drives the same kind of car you do, speaks the same language you do. He's not an unfamiliar person.
Yeah.
You're going to tell him the gospel.
Blows a shofar just like you do.
Woo-hoo. Remember, anyway. Check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God arise.
Let his enemies be scattered, and let the righteous be glad.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before we do this little part of Ezekiel, I can't believe it's the last segment already. I still got a lot more stuff. But I just want to emphasize, you know, you hear the Hebrew lyrics in that song.
Yeah.
You know why it's good to learn some Hebrew while we're here? So when we get to heaven, we won't have culture shock. Because in heaven, everybody's going to be singing Roni Roni.
Ooh.
It'll be cool. Steve does a good version of Roni
awesome.
Roni. Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to chapter 3. How about reading verses 9 and 10?
Like diamond, harder than flint, I make your brow. Do not be afraid of them or be terrified by their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Then he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all of my words that I speak to you. Hear them well. Now go to the exiles, to your own people, and speak to them. Say to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, thus says the Lord God.
So he says to Ezekiel, I'm going to make you strong so that you're not going to fold under the pressure. He's going to make them stronger than, he's going to make them like a diamond, stronger than flint. His head is going to be strong. His forehead is going to be strong. So that when he's confronted by these people who are going to make fun of him and ridicule him and say all kind of sarcastic things about him, mm-hmm. he's not going to fold under that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
Because the spirit who originally brought him to his feet is going to also make him strong.
It's the same thing that Jesus said about John the Baptist.
Amen.
He goes, what did you go to see?
Yes.
A reed swayed by the wind?
Yes. Yes.
No, a prophet.
Yes. And more than a prophet.
Yeah.
But we're equipped to do what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're, you know, the old song about you have to be available. If you're sent on the mission, you're going to be equipped to do the mission. And you're going to be prepared for what happens when you get there. And sure, sometimes it's going to be tough, but he made his forehead hard like a diamond.
Yeah.
So like if somebody's like poking you on the forehead, Ezekiel's not even feeling it.
Yeah.
Because he's just like doing the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he says to him, you know, receive into your heart the words I speak to you and hear with your ears. So when we hear his word, we not only hear it through our ears, but we get it inside of ourselves
mm-hmm.
so that it becomes part of our heart. You know, the ancients thought that your emotions were in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know the heart pumps blood, but we still use the word heart, and we still use hearts for
emotional,
you know, Valentine's and all kind of stuff. But he says, you get that stuff in your heart because my word is what's going to be important to you. And that's what you're going to preach.
Yeah.
Because now you've eaten the scroll, I've gotten you ready, and now you're going to go.
Yeah. He has, you know, he's taken in God's word. It is a part of him now.
Yeah.
And God has equipped him for the mission.
Exactly.
He's equipped him for the battle that's going to take place. And he's going to go before a rebellious house. And he's going to stand there like flint, harder than flint. And speak God's word so that he's not swayed by their opinion, by their dislike or anything. And like I said, you know, Jesus asked the people, you know, what did you go out to see? When you went out to see John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Meaning, did you go to see somebody who was just, you know, if the wind was blowing strong this way, he was going to bend to that.
Yeah.
And if the wind of opinion was going to be coming from the other direction, he was going to bow to that.
Mm-hmm.
No. John was the plummet.
Yeah, exactly.
He stood firm and gave God's word. And people came to him because he spoke with authority.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was his time, when he knew it was his time, he said, Jesus must increase and I must decrease, because Jesus was the, you know, he was, obviously he's the Messiah, so he's the one that he was foretold of. But John was just a forerunner.
Mm-hmm.
But in, you know, he's saying, now go to the exiles. Now this is God's own people and he's calling them exiles.
Mm-hmm.
This is the house of Israel.
Yep.
His chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Now go to the exiles, to your own people, and speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
Say to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, thus says the Lord.
Yes.
He's to proclaim, this is God's word that is coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
And God says this.
These are hard words.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, if you're rebelling and you're an exile from his law and from his word, you have to hear what the prophet's telling you.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have people that are, you know, prophets like Ezekiel, but we have people that are saying the word.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do it every day, or we should be doing it every day.
Right.
And we meet up with people, you know, just the other day as I was leaving my office, this guy who was a very faithful Christian did all kinds of stuff, and then he sort of backslid and he got mixed up with alcohol and stuff again. And we're walking out to the car and he says to me, I don't think the Lord's going to forgive me for doing this. And I said, yes, he's going to forgive you for doing this.
Yeah.
All you have to do is turn back to him and repent, and he'll stand with you and he'll cover you with his blood. And he goes, this is what I needed to hear. I've been so worried.
Yeah.
But see, there's a person who was in the camp, then he got exiled, and now hopefully he wants to come back.
Yeah. Can I come back into the camp?
Can I come back into the camp?
Yeah. And there's always that question of, man, I was in the house. Now I'm outside of the house.
Yeah.
Am I going to be let back in?
Yeah.
I mean, if God doesn't forgive us our sins, then what was the message on the cross?
Hmm.
So it's always, you know, it's always a seed of doubt that the devil tries to plant in the heart of the believer and the non-believer that, oh, what you've done is just egregious and God can never forgive you. That's the furthest thing from the truth.
Wow. This was good. I can't believe the show's over.
I know.
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would hear and receive the good news that there is forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus, and that no matter what you've done in your life, past, present, or even future, by turning to God, he will blot out all your offenses and make anything that is crimson red white as snow by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.